We'd like to start the show by acknowledging that we are on the unceded and sovereign lands of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation, who have been the custodians of these lands, airwaves, skyscapes, seascapes and landscapes for over 60,000 years. I'm very grateful to be broadcasting here today. And given we are on stolen and unceded country, I think especially considering the events that happened this weekend, that we keep talking about what it means to be settlers on stolen land and I guess how the community can act in solidarity and continue its resistance against colonialism. So for that, we will be touching on a few events the past few weeks for the next 30 minutes. The first is going to be the rally on this weekend, dissecting that and the horrors within that, and also looking at the international lens of sovereign wealth funds, both in so-called Australia and abroad, in terms of their investments in weapons companies during a genocide in Gaza. You'll be doing that with Koshin and Zan here on Uprise Radio.
Hello, I'm Koshin.
So Koshin, do you want to take it away?
Yeah, sure. So I wanted to talk about the events on the weekend, this rally that occurred, which we have not come up with a name for yet, the vaguely Australian pro-Australia, pro-flag-waving rally.
You said pro-something before, which I liked because it refuses to give any airtime to ideas.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there were many ideas there. It was a very confused event.
Energy based.
There was a lot of energy. It didn't really have a good direction. So I snuck into the flag waving event on the weekend to try to do some espionage. Try to get an inside scoop on what was occurring. And I am here to report that I don't think I heard a single speech. There was quite a large mass of people when it was really at its peak. There were a lot of people in the crowd at Flinders Street, but it was like no rally I've ever seen before. There was no direction. There were people on the steps of Flinders Street, but they were not speakers. That was just a place where some people had gone. They spent a lot of time talking amongst themselves, not really having much of a direction. And then occasionally someone with a megaphone would say something. People would cheer or boo. They didn't really seem to agree on any of the messaging that they had. I saw them fighting amongst themselves multiple times. I did see one guy make an argument about that it wasn't patriotic to hold a rally that involved Nazis, and he was pushed out until he was removed. He was the only person I saw really get ejected, which it's not a good sign when the people saying that they don't want to march with Nazis are being removed.
Not only that, but the lack of commentary or statements or engagement or anything from the anti-Semitism envoy.
Yeah, I would think that an overt and public display of the absolute pinnacle of anti-Semitism, the example of anti-Semitism, of Nazism, hasn't been decried or mentioned as any kind of an anti-Semitic event. It's something to note for sure that right-wing anti-Semitism is so rarely touched on when it is it's the predominant anti-Semitic movement occurring, And yeah, total deafening silence.
I think it shows it's a term that is completely malleable to what political agenda it needs to serve, as is the word terrorism, which is, they're both things that are used to serve often an oppressor. And it's wild that so much media has just been calling the attacks at camps of things like sabotage, but there has been very little mention of calling it an act of terrorism. Given the political motivations behind it and given the way that we use those words, it's interesting to note how the definitions keep changing depending on who's using them.
Yeah, definitely. It's just not seen as a threat by the political establishment. They don't seem to want to squash right-wing extremism, because I think in a lot of ways it's useful for them. It gives them license. And I think the response has been that the events gave a mandate in a way to the government to roll out more punitive anti-immigration measures. They're going to start deporting people from Australia who have been shown in a court to be asylum seekers, to be valid asylum seekers, to be refugees in this country. They're now going to be sent to Nauru, which a couple of years ago would have been something absurd. But now, because I think in a lot of ways because of Trump, because he's opened the doorway to this concept of, deportation to third countries, now we have a center government that is also going to start deporting people to third countries, which is shocking. It shouldn't be allowed to be integrated into our into regular politics. This idea that you can just send people away to Nauru and then pay off the government. Essentially, they're giving them $400 million. For this deal, which it's atrocious, but that's the response to right-wing extremism by the government, is to say no, there's no need for outrage. Actually, we're doing those things that you want. We are punishing refugees and migrants. We are, it's not, they're not engaging with them by saying that you have feelings, you have this,
you also have human rights.
Well, human rights are out the way. That is one of the things that they legislated, was that they don't owe a fair trial to I can't remember the exact phrasing, but it was essentially fairness or something in the judicial process for non-citizens in this country, that they don't get the same rights of appeal, because if they did, they would be allowed to, they would be allowed to use our legal system to try to stay in the country, and the government wants them out. So they've revoked basic rights that these people deserve, that we claim to people deserve.
And I think it's also important to touch on the conflation that has been made, I think, a lot within that rally around the housing market and migration, and the falsity of that argument in how migration is linked to being the problem of a housing market, when there has been absolutely no argument or criticism given to how landlords and homeowners and the rental market is operating to make that worse for people.
Yeah, the government's response on the housing criticism from the rally has been that they're cutting the migration numbers, which inherently it concedes the point that migration is the driving factor of our skyrocketing housing market, when it's just not. I mean, it is we've set it up in a way where investors pump money in order to get a return that has turned housing into a financial asset that has to constantly increase in price. It is atrocious that they've turned around and said they've basically conceded this point to the far right that migration is to blame, which is only going to fuel further hate and division and only going to give more political license to right-wing parties and right-wing groups to blame migrants. And people will believe them because that's the message that's being put out there.
Which makes it really important to counter that message wherever is humanly possible. Interrupt and interject anyone if you can hear this argument being made, and hopefully having more community conversations around why this is not the case.
Mm. Yeah, I think that anger that is in society, I mean, it needs to be directed in the proper, to the proper channels, which are towards our financial system, our economic system, that it is landlords who are incentivized to increase the prices, it's landlords who are buying property and preventing people from owning and living in the property that they own. Those are the people, the landlords and the banks. Those are the people who we should be directing all of our energy at. And we need to be engaging in some kind of political education with these people who are otherwise completely susceptible to these right-wing narratives and will... today they're doing one thing, they're marching and showing this dissatisfaction and getting whipped up into a patriotic frenzy, but tomorrow they'll be further down the line. Tomorrow they'll be, you know, joining these extreme right-wing groups. They'll be outwardly engaging, they'll be indoctrinated into them, unless there is a left-wing alternative presented to them.
Which is a sub-series that we should do around how to have a friendly conversation with your landlord about raising their political consciousness.
Yeah.
Good luck, considering you never get to interact with them anyway.
Yeah.
Tune in, it's going to be a hot release.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Hello, you're listening to Uprise Radio on 3CR. You are here with myself, Koshin, and my friend and comrade, Zan.
For the second half of the show, I'm going to be yapping a bit more on the international arms trade front. There's been a lot of good developments, a lot of not so good developments, and I think they're really interesting to weave together to get a bit of the lay of the land. So a few weeks ago, some of you may know the Albert Out of Vic campaign put out a report around the Future Fund and all around the investments of our sovereign wealth fund in so-called Australia and the investments that it has in Israeli weapons companies. And a focus of that one was Elbit Systems, who supplies up to 85% of the Israeli Defense Force with its drones. And following this report, it's been interesting to follow what other sovereign wealth funds around the world are doing in the context of the genocide in Gaza. A few weeks ago, Norway's sovereign wealth fund has done an ethics review and they have decided to terminate all contracts with asset managers for Israeli investments, which is huge. And since June, there's now been 23 companies divested from. I think some of these haven't been made public yet, but hopefully they will be made public soon with clear reasons as to why the divestment was made as well, as I think this sets a really strong precedent for the sovereign wealth front in so-called Australia for knowing what due diligence looks like in the context of a genocide. Mm. And a weird thing that has been happening alongside this also is that the UK has been kind of going back and forth in terms of like divestments and reinvestments. There was an interesting move last week where UK announced that the Israeli government officials would not be permitted to participate in a defense industry expo in London, which was enormous. I'm sure some of you can remember the Land Forces and Avalon air show here, where around 800 weapons companies were permitted to network and gain further contracts with each other. So for the UK to be making that move is huge. But on the flip, the UK is also potentially going to seal a deal of $2 billion with Elbit Systems to be contracting the British Army for training, which is a truly confusing combination of acknowledgements and then complicity and, yeah, baffled.
It feels very similar to Australia. There's a lot of talk, a lot of, you know, a lot of finger wagging and the occasional sort of signal that they are, you know, that they're going to divest in some way or that they're going to put some kind of pressure. And then, you know, the at the end of the day, they still have contracts with Elbit Systems. They are not willing to actually go that real step to actually make a real change in the defense policy.
Yeah, and maybe it's also around like the inherent messiness of a movement where there will be certain people pushing really hard within industries and other people that have different agendas, and so kind of noticing the winds where they are and then seeing how it's a constant active effort that needs to be maintained because the kind of recontracting will continue to happen.
Yeah, it's it seems like a real divide within the Labour Party. I know the Victorian Labour Party, there was a motion passed about recognising Palestine a few months ago, and there was a lot of kind of grassroots and rank and file momentum in the Labour Party. But then when you look at the members that are actually elected, they are a lot more hesitant and a lot less interested in those sorts of things. Although they did, I guess, do something in the way of recognition. What was the deal they made? It's a conditional recognition in September. It's not exactly a clear signal of solidarity.
It's wild. You get the politics of recognition in itself, and then you get that squared when it's a partial conditional recognition.
I know. And also so strange that they always talk about how they're the party of real action and not symbolism, and how recognition has to come from a real momentum, real diplomatic momentum. But then they, I don't know, then they just, they actually love to make symbolic, meaningless gestures all the time without taking real action. And now, yeah, the UK Labour government, their recognition was conditional on Israel's actions, as if Israel needed to be better, otherwise as a punishment they'll recognise Palestine. It's really perverse and strange.
I think on the topic of moving from symbolism to action, would be note for listeners, if you are in Nam and want to engage with things around divestment and the Sovereign Wealth Fund and knowing where your money's going and where we can put the pressure on, the Elbit Out of Victoria campaign is hosting a screening at Trades Hall on the 10th of September at 6:30 p.m. and they'll be launching the Future Fund report where you can learn more about this type of stuff in the context of so-called Australia, and a film screening of To Kill a War Machine. So feel free to come along for some community conversations.
I'll be there.
Maybe we can all yap together in the real world.
Yeah. Wow. And if I don't see you there, don't let me see you again.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to our yapping for the last half hour. Hope to see you in a fortnight to be sharing some current chaos affairs together.
Yep. Hopefully some good news in a fortnight. I'm feeling good. I feel like it doesn't all have to be. Something good could be in the pipeline. Let's hope. Let's see. Okay. Thank you. Goodbye.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.